and pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Please let me remind you as we continue our study in the subject of dispensations that these are found in the Word of God, that is, dispensations. And God has always had a plan. And as we look into His Word, we see that He's never taken by surprise. And we're studying right now the dispensation of the law, and that is number 5, the dispensation number 5. And as we look at this, we stop to think how that during this dispensation of how the people of Israel disobeyed God, and we're going to look further into that in just a moment. But let me say to you this, that Paul the Apostle had this to say concerning himself. Now, sometimes we get really, can I use the term, puffed up. We get filled full of pride. But notice what Paul the Apostle said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul the Apostle, can you imagine the one who had written over half the New Testament, who would say that I am chief of sinners? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 says, "For I am the least of the apostles," Paul said, "that am not meet." In other words, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And then in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Not only are we saved by the grace of God, not only was Paul the Apostle saved by the grace of God, but he said he was the least of all saints. And I feel like that many times, but sometimes I feel that I am the one that is favored of God. And then I realize that there's many favored of God, and those people who have trusted Jesus Christ, we're all favored by God because of His grace. And Paul goes on to say that he was favored, he was the least of all, that he should be able to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I believe that as well in my life. I count it an honor and a privilege to be able to preach the Word of God, to teach the Word of God, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21, it says, "Make you perfect," in other words, mature, "in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." We have nothing to glory in except the cross of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I need to continually look to the cross, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the cross is empty. Jesus Christ is with the Father in heaven. But we need to look to the cross. In other words, that shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes us fit for glory. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Well, Paul the Apostle realized his achievements for God were not because of the law or himself. Everything was because of Christ. We need to remember that we're saved by the grace of God, not by works, which we do, but it's according to His mercy, His grace that He saves us, and that we are saved. We don't have to concern ourselves about being unsaved, because once we're saved for all eternity. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Well, we are to glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to glory because of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us on that cross. And sometimes we look at the people of Israel and we say, boy, these people were something else. I mean, they had everything going for them. God brought them out of Egypt. And God took care of these people. He gave everything to them as they marched through the wilderness, but yet they turned their back on God. But how many times have you and I turned our backs on God? How many times have you and I, as hard-hearted or hard-headed people, how many times have we turned our backs on God? And this is something that, once again, we need to fall on our face to the holy God and say, oh God, forgive me for not living for you. Now, we don't do that to get saved again. We do that because we are saved. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me suggest to you that if you're going through a difficult time and you've gotten away from the Lord, go back and read Psalm 51, David's Psalm of Repentance. Oh, God, have mercy upon me, he says. And he wants his fellowship restored with the Heavenly Father. And you and I need that as well at times. And we need to also realize that God never turns his back on us, that he's always there and he's always ready to help us as saved people to live for him. And he's always ready to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that our fellowship, not salvation, but our fellowship would be restored with him and we could have fellowship with him once again. Well, there's something about Israel that we need to continue looking at as we look at dispensation number 5, the law. And that is, first of all, Israel's failure. Now, we've talked about this, how that Israel failed God. Well, God said that his covenant was broken by Israel. And the question needs to be asked, did the nation Israel keep God's law or not? Well, the Israelites said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. They made that statement. Well, they did not do as they promised they would do. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 32 says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. Well, these people, they failed to keep the conditional covenant they made with God. Israel could have the land at the time to enjoy if they simply obeyed. Simply obeyed whom? God. Well, the history of the nation of Israel is one long and sad record of flagrant and persistent violation. In other words, breaking of the law and God's conditional covenants. Well, the children of Israel broke God's law in a hurry. They wasted no time in disobeying God, and they break the Ten Commandments even before Moses came down from the Mount Sinai. This sad story is found in Exodus chapter 32 and verses 1 through 6, and also Exodus chapter 20 and verses 3 through 5. Read along with me if you have your Bible open to Exodus chapter 32, and I encourage you once again to have your Bible ready when we join our hearts together to study God's Word. Exodus 32, verses 1 through 6. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast of the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Well, I've said this before and I'll say it again. You know, had I been God, I would have probably stricken Aaron down right then. But I'm not God. God has more mercy, evidently, than I do, and I know he does. And this is something that we need to look to and understand that Aaron evidently was weak. He was one who gave in to the things of the world. And that's the people around him who were of the world. And then we look at these Israelites, they still wanted to live in Egypt, and they still wanted to be of the world. And how many of God's people today want the things of the world instead of the things of God? Well, we need to pray for each other, that each of us stay true to the Lord, serving him constantly in our daily lives, and not turn to the idols of this world, but be ready to serve the one and only living true God that's in heaven. Well, after this great sin, that is the making of the forming of this calf, this golden calf, God said, "They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them." Exodus chapter 32 and verse 8 says that. And we keep reading and we see many other areas of where Israel failed to follow all of God's instructions. And this was evidenced by the Bible. It's throughout the history of the Israelites. Notice the following, if you would, in Judges. We look at the book of Judges and we see how that during this time, Judges 21:25, how that during this time the children of Israel did not follow God's law, but instead, the Bible says in Judges 21:25, every man did that which was right in his own eyes instead of in the eyes of God. Now, that last part is not in Judges 21:25 instead of the eyes of God. That's me adding. Now, I'm not adding to the Word of God. I'm simply saying that these people wanted to do what was right in their eyes instead of doing what God wanted them to do. Well, and we also look in the book of Samuel. While Samuel was serving as judge and prophet in Israel, the people decided that they wanted to become as other nations and have a king rule over them. And they presented their case to Samuel, who in turn took it to the Lord in prayer. The prophet was greatly disturbed over this desire of the people, but he was comforted by God with the assurance. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 7 what God said. He said, "They have not rejected thee." In other words, they have not rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me. It's one thing to reject a man. It's another thing to reject God. And so many people today have rejected the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. The Bible says he did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Bible teaches us that all people who come to him, he will in no wise cast out. He came. He lived. He died. He rose from the grave, that every person in this world would have the opportunity to say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Lord, I can't save myself, but you can save me. And I'm willing to let you take the sin that is in my life. Take that sin, Lord. I'm willing to turn to you and have you take that sin. Forgive me of my sin, Lord. Come into my heart and save me so that one day I can look at you, Lord, and say, thank you for saving my soul." People need to pray that prayer or one like it and be sincere with God. And I've said this so many times. Get serious with God and he'll get serious with you. Be willing to turn from that sin that's in your life. Be sorry for that sin that's in your life. And ask Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we've had together. I pray once again for that soul nearest hell that you would save that soul even right now. For Jesus' sake, amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.